Mr. Paul Goodman.
Deputy Speaker, I'm extremely grateful to Mr. Speaker for granting me this adjournment debate, in which I want to tell the story to date of my constituent Helen Wilkinson and her medical records. And this story raises profound issues, I think, in relation to civil liberties, in particular to privacy and confidentiality. Before I tell it, I want to set out, for the House's benefit, just one of the possibilities which it raises. I want only any honourable member or any person who reads this debate in due course to imagine that he or she has a problem, a medical problem, let us say a sexual dysfunction problem, for example. The person concerned goes to see a doctor. The doctor enters notes about this problem onto his or her computer. The problem is then successfully treated. Years later, a senior receptionist at another practice meets the recovered patient socially. The receptionist thinks, "I wouldn't mind finding out a bit more about this person." The next day, the receptionist, unethically and illegally, accesses the recovered patient's doctor's notes, which are held on a national NHS computer database, and ferrets out these private and confidential details to whatever end, without, of course, the recovered patient knowing anything at all about this breach of privacy. Now, I could go on to raise a myriad of other disturbing possibilities which the story of Helen Wilkinson raises. I sketch out this one simply to give a flavour of them. And so now, without any more ado, I want to tell Helen's story so far. She's currently working as an NHS practice manager. Indeed, she's worked in the NHS for some 20 years. So when it comes to the NHS, to NHS offices, to staff, to patients, and to NHS records, it can fairly be said that she knows what she's talking about. A while ago, Helen discovered that the University College London Hospitals Trust had sent computer records of every hospital medical treatment which she'd ever had to a private company, McKesson, which holds a mass of NHS records. These records are then passed on, as Helen's duly were, to computer systems used by the NHS. Helen's records thus became available to a number of NHS bodies, such as the Thames Valley Strategic Health Authority, Wickham Primary Care Trust, and so on. Helen then asked to see her records under the Data Protection Act, as she's fully entitled to do. And she discovered when she examined them that there was a serious mistake in the records, that she was effectively, and I repeat, mistakenly, registered as an alcoholic. Helen thus resolved, given her anger about this mistake, her concern about the large number of people who have access to even the correct parts of her record, and her concern too about the even larger number who might well have access to it as the NHS's computerisation programme proceeds, a matter to which I'll return later, she decided that she wanted her records removed from NHS systems altogether. Now, it's important to explain in this context that, as matters stand, NHS patients have the right to object to data about them being held in a form which identifies them, but only where this is causing, or is likely to cause, substantial and unwarranted damage or distress. It is not clear if that data is held by a number of NHS bodies, as Helen's is, who decides whether damage or distress is caused or is likely to be caused. I wrote to the then Minister responsible, the Honourable Member for Barrow and Furness.
Order. I beg to move that this House do now adjourn.
The question is that this House do now adjourn. Mr. Paul Goodman.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Speaker. As I was saying, I wrote to the then Minister responsible, the Honourable Member for Barrow and Furness, last autumn, asking him in effect to grant Helen's request. I received a reply from him dated November the 5th, explaining that, and I quote, "The removal of patients from the systems that Ms. Wilkinson has identified is neither simple nor straightforward, and that the Ethics Advisory Group of the Care Records Development Board was considering the matter." Helen then took a drastic decision, but the only proper decision which she believed was open to her. She decided to withdraw from the NHS as a patient altogether, so that her records, including, of course, the mistaken registration of her as an alcoholic, could be removed from NHS computer systems. So in summary then, my constituent argues that she's had to withdraw from the NHS in order to protect her privacy. I want now to ask the minister who is in her place some questions which relate specifically to my constituent. Her predecessor, the Honourable Member for Barrow-in Furness, said in relation to my constituent on the Today programme earlier this year, it must be possible to correct this, namely the mistake in Helen's records, and he went on to say, there is not a problem here. So can I ask the Minister, would it have been possible to correct the mistake, given the large number of NHS bodies to which the mistaken information was distributed, given that so many different bodies held it? The then Minister also said on the same programme, Mrs Wilkinson does not have to have a national care record if she does not want one. So can I also ask the present Minister, is that correct? And how can it be correct when a patient has only the right to have such records removed, where these records are judged to be causing, or to be likely to cause that patient, substantial and unwarranted damage or distress? The Honourable Member for Barrow-in Furness said in a further letter to me, dated May the 5th, that, and I quote, I have directed officials to ensure that her data, that is Helen's data, is removed from those systems for which the Department of Health is legally responsible as data controller. So can I ask the Minister, has this happened yet? And if not, by what date will it happen? The then Minister wrote to me in a letter dated November the 30th that, I quote again, while your constituent may have opted not to seek NHS care, NHS services have not been withheld. On that point, can the Minister clarify what would happen were my constituent, for example, to be taken suddenly into hospital? Would any notes made go into NHS computer systems? If so, would my constituent have to leave the NHS, so to speak, all over again, in order to get any new records removed from those systems? Not, of course, that she would have taken any decision to re-enter the NHS in the first place. I now want to turn to some of the wider issues raised by Helen's story, and which I tried to illustrate near the beginning of my speech. I said that Helen's story raises profound issues in relation to civil liberties, in particular to privacy and confidentiality. Now, it does so partly because her evolving story is bound up with the evolving story of the whole NHS computerisation programme. Helen's records, like those of others, are held partly on paper, partly on computer. Obviously, not all NHS staff throughout Britain have access to the paper records, and not all NHS bodies nationwide have access by means of their computer systems to the computer systems of other NHS bodies. Now, this situation will gradually change. As I understand it, the last 7 years' worth of records held on NWCS, which is a hospital computer system, and records held on GP computer systems will eventually end up on NCRS, the National Computer Records System, into which information from NHS Direct will also flow. It's important at this point to grasp the Care Record Development Board, to which I referred earlier, is recommending that patients should in future, as the fully functioning NCRS comes on stream, not be able to opt out of having a national care record. Now, here is indeed a potential challenge to privacy and confidentiality with serious civil liberties implications. Other NHS patients will be concerned, and there's already been some media discussion of this, they'll be concerned, as Helen is, about the confidentiality of their records if those records end up on a national system, which a large number of NHS bodies and individuals, including, for example, social workers, can access. After all, these records will hold data set down by nurses, health visitors, midwives, physiotherapists, psychologists, laboratory staff, sexually transmitted disease and addiction workers, ambulance crews and so forth. It's a long list. And these records will contain information about such sensitive matters as sexuality, ethnicity, genetics, mental health, intellectual impairment, illicit drug use, imprisonment, abortion, contraception, impotence, paternity, infertility, HIV, personal relationships, domestic violence, rape and abuse in childhood. Again, a long list. And the Honourable Member for Barrow and Furness set out in his letter to me dated May the 4th, apparent safeguards which will in future, he claimed, protect patient privacy and confidentiality. He set them out by under certain headings, such as legitimate relationships, role-based access control, the patient's sealed envelope, opting out of information sharing, stop noting, and so on. Now, I don't have time, and it's not perhaps my function, to explain to the House what these safeguards are in detail, but I would like to ask the Minister some questions about them, and perhaps if she doesn't have time to answer all of them during this debate tonight, she might indicate that she'd be willing to write in due course, and I see her nodding, which indicates that she will, if she has to. First of all, will there be the computer facility to withhold part of an individual's record from NCRS? As I've seen it argued that there will be no such facility. What trials, if any, of the envelope software in clinical settings have taken place, and what did they find? In his letter to me, the Honourable Member for Barrow and Furness said that in certain circumstances, health professionals will be able to break the envelope seal. He wrote, "This action can only be justified in specific circumstances, is audited, and can be notified to the patient." So, who will decide whether the patient is notified, and how? In his letter to me, the Honourable Member for Barrow and Furness said that in some cases, I quote, care professionals can themselves create a legitimate relationship. Under what circumstances, precisely? Is my constituent correct in asserting to me, as she has, that third parties will be able to access a patient's data without that patient having the right to know whether third parties have accessed their data and who those third parties were? The story that I sketched out at the beginning was an illustration of the claim that my constituent has made to me. What assessment will the department be making of the effect on the nation's health of significant numbers of people potentially withholding important information from their doctors or from other health professionals because of concerns about confidentiality? What assessment will it be making of the possibility of hackers altering data held on the NCRS and falsifying medical or other records? Will the NCRS and the proposed identity cards database be linked? And if so, under what circumstances is it proposed that the police or other agencies have access to the records held on NCRS? Finally, what assessment of the clinical need for an NCRS has the department made? Now, in conclusion, Mr. Deputy Speaker, I recognise that serious issues about patient confidentiality and privacy arise under the present part computer, part pen and ink system. So these concerns that I raise are not, so to speak, entirely new concerns. I acknowledge that a national computer system may, in some circumstances, help treat patients quickly who would otherwise not be treated so quickly. I realise that governments of any colour have a difficult task in striking the right balance between, say, developing patient treatment on the one hand and protecting patient privacy on the other. Above all, I can see that new technology itself throws up new challenges to confidentiality and privacy. But I am concerned that, as my honourable friend the Shadow Health Secretary has said, there are, in respect of the NCRS, I quote, serious unresolved issues on patient confidentiality. And I've tried to raise some of these issues in the context of the story which is still unfolding of my constituent, Helen Wilkinson.
Ms. Caroline Foote.
Thank you very much, Mr. Deputy Speaker, and could I begin by congratulating the Honourable Member for Wickham on securing this adjournment debate. His purpose today has been to do what he can, quite properly as a constituency Member of Parliament, to give voice to the legitimate concerns of his constituents, and I do understand those concerns. I think in all sorts of areas of our lives, whether it's in banking or whether it's in criminal records or whether it's in relation to health records, there is obviously clearly a demand on government and the agencies that we work with to make sure that the way in which we develop these new technologies, which I think he would agree is with the best intentions, it is to try and make sure that people can get the best health care that they possibly can, in recognising that health care can be offered in a number of different environments to people involving a lot of different health professionals, both in primary care and secondary care. So I think he would agree with me that the intentions are right, but there is still a task for all of us in making sure that we have the confidence of the public in what we are trying to develop. And I wish to put on record, Mr Deputy Speaker, the sympathy which I share, and I'm sure along with everyone who's heard of the distress experienced by Mrs Wilkinson, in particular her distress at finding an embarrassing error in the record of her NHS treatment. I am very pleased to be able to confirm that that error has now been expunged, and we have respected Ms Wilkinson's further requests that all her patient data be removed from the existing national database, although we have certain reservations about the consequences of doing so. We do recognise that there will be some people, Mrs Wilkinson is I think the first, but no doubt there are others, who feel so strongly about what they see as threats to the confidentiality of their personal health information that they will seek to remove any possibility of this information being shared within the NHS. But I would like to make clear, Mr Deputy Speaker, that we do not envisage any circumstances in which patients who choose to have some or all of their records deleted will be deregistered from the NHS or otherwise denied NHS care against their wishes. And I think that's very important in light of what the Honourable Member for Wickham has said in his opening contribution this evening. What we cannot, of course, do is provide people who do not want to be part of the new joined-up care record system with the benefits that an electronic record can provide. It is this new system of electronic records which we're in the process of introducing through the National Programme for IT and the benefits they will bring, on which I would like to focus and hopefully touch upon some of the concerns the Honourable Member has raised this evening. And what I don't respond to, I certainly will write to him in due course. Some health records are already held on computers, but much, and I would suggest too much, is still kept on paper. And just by having it on paper in itself presents some challenges in terms of security of that information too. The shortcomings of the NHS continue to depend in the 21st century on record-keeping and communication systems invented in the 19th century, I think, are all too transparent. Records are not always available to staff providing care. Handwritten entries in the record may be difficult to read, and important information may be missing. Patients themselves are often inconvenienced or put in a difficult situation sometimes by having to tell staff the same information over and over again. And Ms Wilkinson's distressing experience and the embarrassment it has caused her highlights the need, I think, for improvement in the future. Now, we've committed quite unprecedented sums of taxpayers' money, £6.2 billion over last year and the next 9 years, to revolutionise the way health information is accessed and shared. And the key reason is this. Electronic records and clinical communications will improve the safety and quality of care. It will underpin choice for patients, and it will increase, we believe, the productive capacity of NHS clinicians and staff, and potentially save huge sums in unnecessary treatment and wasteful litigation costs. I think, too, it will help us build the patient-led NHS, but also give us opportunities to look at how we can better safeguard the information, how we can better give patients some rights in relation to that information, and importantly, create the safeguards and mechanisms to prevent some of the scenarios the Honourable Gentleman has outlined this evening about who will have access and who won't have access, and the patient's choice in relation to that as to whom those people should be. It should also allow for electronically to be able to identify those people who may access the system when they have no right to do so. And I think that's important for any system of information, whether it's on paper or it is held electronically. The new system will give health and care professionals secure access to patient information and the means to update a patient's care record where and when it is needed. Errors will therefore be more easily identified and corrected, and they should be. From the outset, the new system will hold records about an individual's care in a national computer system so that wherever in the country care is sought, healthcare professionals can have the access to the most up-to-date information. Now, the Honourable Gentleman started his contribution tonight to give an example of a receptionist meeting someone at a party and then going back into practice and trying to access records. Under access rights, I believe, and I'm informed, it will not be possible for those not involved in providing care to see the record. And unauthorised access is actually marked on the system and therefore subject to audit. And that is one of the opportunities the electronic system allows us to have. We have built in the most stringent safeguards for security and confidentiality, and we hope that anyone who has concerns about their information will look at these safeguards and be reassured. The new system will allow patients to determine whether information recorded in one organisation can be seen elsewhere in the NHS. That is their choice. But even where they permit this access, only those involved in an individual's care will have access to their records or information that identifies them, and they will only see those parts of the record needed to inform care, which I think is really linked to some of the points the Honourable Gentleman was making in relation to the whole health record and how some people might have access to information that wouldn't be appropriate, and the system is being designed to tackle that. Everyone who may have access will be appropriately authorised, and they will need a smart card as well as a password. And crucially, the system will identify and register the identity of everyone who looks at the records. And that's important, I think, as a safeguard and for an audit trail to check authorised access isn't happening. The new system and how it protects patients' interests is set out in the Care Record Guarantee, published by my noble friend Lord Warner on the 25th of May, and which, before the NHS Care Record Service becomes operational, will be made available to every household in the country. And the guarantee makes 12 commitments to patients about their records, including access to health records by NHS staff, how it will be limited. Patients will be able to block access to parts of their record to stop it being shared with anyone in the NHS, except in an emergency. Patients will also be able to prevent their information from being seen by anyone outside the NHS organisations that recorded it, though patients will have to accept that sometimes this might have an impact on the quality of care. But that, again, is about engaging the patient in their care in the first place. Identifiable patient information will not be shared with any individual organisation outside the NHS unless patients provide consent or the law requires disclosure, or there is evidence to show that failure to disclose the information may put others at risk. I give an example of child protection cases. I give way to the Honourable Gentleman.
Thank you very much to the Minister for giving way, and I'm not going to intervene on her again because I know she's short of time. I just thought I'd ask her one question, which is she referred to an audit trail and to it being possible to trace details of whoever has looked at a patient's record. Will there be an automatic right for a patient to know who has been looking at the records?
I understand the answer to that question is yes, that they will have a right to see who has accessed their records. The Honourable Gentleman made a point about the sealed envelope. My understanding is only when health professionals are so convinced that not to do so would put the patient's health at risk, that would be a situation in which the sealed envelope would be opened. The Caldecott Guardian, who is a senior clinician in a trust responsible for confidentiality, will decide in those circumstances if the patient needs to be informed. But patients can ask at any time to know who has looked at their record. The right to have inaccurate data rectified or erased, or to have any concerns about the processing of data seriously considered, is enshrined in statute, and we are currently considering how concerns of this kind can be practically addressed. We recognise there's a need to establish a transparent process for people with concerns and clear and applicable criteria for dealing with requests. It's not just a simple matter, as there are significant medico-legal implications in deleting health information, even where it is incorrect, if someone has relied upon it to make a decision. And part of the reason for that, and I'm sure the Honourable Gentleman will understand, is also to protect the patient too, from people who might want to change records that could have implications in the future if a patient wanted to make a complaint about their treatment or how they were treated within the health service. I also need to make the important point that should people choose not to be part of the joined-up care record system, it will not only constrain how the NHS can help them, but will also prevent the NHS from learning and improving on how it manages the care of others with similar conditions. But that's not for people to know who the individual is, but it's to look at the case management of people with serious illnesses and diseases. We are determined to engage the public in understanding the benefits, both personal and system-wide, of the electronic care record, how it will lead to a more efficient NHS, improve the quality of care and increase choice. That is why we publish the Care Record Guarantee. In conclusion, I hope that what I've had to say will have been some assistance to the Honourable Member for Wickham. I will reply to you on any matters I haven't been able to address, but I hope in what I've said tonight it's been given a real opportunity in a public forum to outline some of the reasons why we're moving in this direction and how seriously we take the issues of confidentiality in the new system.
The question is that this House do now adjourn. As many as that opinion say aye.
Aye.
The contrary, no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Order. Order.